All right. How many of you remember the song Yesterday? How's it go, Tim? Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Right? But no, that's not the song I'm talking about here, brother. I knew that everybody was going to go to that song. It seems, you know, it's embedded into us. It's what we were listening to and listening to and listening to and listening to and then listening to. And if you listen and listen and listen to this, guess what was going to come out? Not yesterday, but we're going to be looking to tomorrow. We're going to look into eternity, to the future. Hallelujah. Now, of course, that song does apply to today, right? When you think about it. But see, I can tell you, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. God is the one in control. In Psalm 8, verse 1, O Lord, comma, our Lord, how powerful is your name? I'm going to use... Now, I know the Bible uses a different word. I'm saying it's powerful name because that's when you look it up what it is. But I want you to key in on, O Lord. When you look it up, you know what it's, you know what the definition is? One word, Jehovah. Jehovah. O Lord is Jehovah. Then there's that comma and it says, our Lord. Our Lord. Okay? Now, our Lord is actually, when you look it up, is spelled A-D-O-W-N. Right? Now, you know how you pronounce that? A-W-D-O-N-E. All done. All done. But when you look it up, the definition is on that superintendent of all affairs, the one who is in total control. Jehovah is in control. Always rely to that because that's what the word says. We miss that. And a reason I want to emphasize on that, every time you think things are out of control, they're not out of control. Just turn back. Jesus. Jesus, I need help. Jesus, give me clarity. I don't understand what's going on, but you do because you're the one that's in control. Clarify things for me. And then take a deep breath. Sit back, and your spirit man will start to give you that comfort that you need because you called on the name above all names, the name that is so powerful. Because when you use it, you're going to cast some demons running. All right. But the song, get back to yesterday. The song that I'm talking about is a song by George Yonts. And it's called Yesterday. Yesterday, things were different. Today, they're different again. Jesus will never change. Jesus is always the same. Yeah. Yesterday, things were different. Today, they're different again. And when you get to tomorrow, this day will become yesterday, and it's going to be different. So it just goes on and on and on. But Jesus will never change. He is always the same. Because that's what the Word tells us in Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can say that with me. Whenever you know the Scriptures that well, you quote them right along with me. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, if I change it up and tell you, like the Message Bible says, for Jesus doesn't change yesterday, today, tomorrow. He's always totally himself. I like that. Totally himself. How's the old saying? What you see is what you get. How do you see him? Through his word. He tells you exactly who he is. And he don't lie. If he said it, he's going to do it. But you know what you got to have? Patience. Amen? Patience. But then in Malachi 3:6, God, speaking through the prophet, said, I am the Lord. I do not change. I do not change. In Psalm 33, verse 11, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The purposes or plans of His heart, His spirit, to all generations, they stand. The plans He have stand for us. His word is timeless, unchangeable, unstoppable, and His promises are eternal and everlasting. Okay. Like Father, like Son. Think of what I'm trying to say. Because in John chapter 5, John chapter 5, verse 19, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. Like Father, like Son. They're unchangeable. They're always the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Throughout history, people have become accustomed to living a certain way, with certain values and certain people in their lives, right? Things weren't always that way. They once were quite different. There was a starting point, then learning, then adaptation, and then implementation. New levels of life came along and were readily accepted. Growing periods were just that. They were growing periods. Times in which we grew and became better because of them. Kind of like James 1, 2 through 4. Dear brothers and dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. New Living Testament, by the way. These growing periods came with a new set of circumstances. Each one came with a factor of trust, and each one came with a sense they could be conquered. Why? Because we are more than conquerors. The Word tells us that in Romans 8:37. We are more than conquerors. Go ahead and say, I am more than a conqueror.
I am more than a conqueror.
Through Christ who strengthens you. And that's all because of one small four-letter word. Love. Love. The results of the learning experience would benefit everyone. And then something happened. Someone wasn't there anymore in their lives. Familiar faces disappeared, and change took place without enough notice. Yesterday, things were different. Today, they're different again. Jesus will never change. Jesus is always the same. The same sensation felt as the good old days has been felt by everyone at some point in time in their lives. Those were the days, my friends, we thought they'd never end, right? Well, they did. Yep. Those were the days. Well, guess what? Things are different. All of it changed. It's an ongoing process. The one constant, though, that has never changed is Jesus and the Father's amazing love for each and every one of us. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
Everything. Now, Russ Taff, he does a song called Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. Oh, before I go on with that, you know what's neat? Do you know who the opening act was for Russ Taff? Huh? A group that you might know called Mercy Me.
Wow.
Yeah, they were the opening act for Russ Taff. Pays to study out everything, every part of it, every scripture, everything that you come up with. When God reveals something to you, say, why? And then you go back and go, wow, how everything tied together. Big Daddy Weave, you know how big that dude is?
Yeah.
Do you know what Bart looked like back then? Same size guy. He was huge. He made you look small, brothers. Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool. Well, anyhow, back to Russ Taff's song, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. Goes, time is filled with swift transition. None on earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal, and then hold on to God's unchanging hand. You grab a hold onto that hand. Don't let go. He's reached out to you. Grab a hold of it. Grab a hold of it. Don't let go. As we walk through the journey of life, it's full of swift transitions. Transition, okay? It is a process or a period of changing from one state or condition to another. Instead of dwelling on what we don't have and what we may think sometimes has been taken away from us, we should be so thankful in the times we are living in and for what we do have. Because God will supply all of our needs. All of our needs. And when you do, and you're thankful for that, a lot of those wants and desires of your heart are going to be met. With transition comes change. Brother, this is from a good old blues singer. And actually, I think it was a bluegrass. I know God is God, and God doesn't ever change. I know God is God, and He's always will be God. He's God when the lightning flashes. He's God when the thunder rolls. He's God way up heaven. He's God way down in our souls. God don't never change. God always will be God. God don't never change. The Bible talks about change. It talks about change in depth. And it promises there will be change. Ecclesiastes. Chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, a time to lose. Excuse me. A time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. And through and for each one of those events of life, God sent His Son Jesus, who stands there with His arms open wide. You want to just run to Jesus and be held? That's what we need sometimes. Just to be held. And He's there to help us, to stand with us, to comfort us, to lead, guide, and protect us. You know what the greatest protection is? The blood. Plead the blood. The blood is protection. It's redemption. It's got saving power, but it's mighty. It's protection. Plead the blood. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. The Bible is full of examples, many of them, of where change occurred while God was busy working His plans for all of us. Do you hear what I said? While God was busy working His plans for all of us. Turn to Acts. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And we're going to read verses 1 through 9, because here is an event of change and swift transition similar to what we have been discussing here. Now, you're there in Acts 9, but now I'm going to the Message Bible. I don't know, I just liked it for today's. Verse 1, all this time Saul was breathing down the necks of the master's disciples. Out for the kill. He went to the chief priests and got arrest warrants to take to the meeting places in Damascus so that if he found anyone there belonging to the way, who is the way maker? Jesus. Jesus is the way. Whether men or women, so that he could arrest them and bring them to Jerusalem. He set off. When he got to the outskirts of Damascus, he was suddenly dazed by a blinding flash of light. I don't know if you've ever, some of you probably haven't, but I have. Do you know what it's like to get a welder's flash? Oh, I'm telling you, it. Your eyes literally burn. You don't know what to do with them. And then they take you and they put this salve in your eyes because that light was so intense. When I thought of that flashlight, I said, man, that's a welder's flash. That's one major welder's flash. Right, Inspector? I'm talking to guys who've welded. That light is burning. That's why you cannot look at it without that shield. That's why you can't even look at God. His brilliance is so bright. That's His glory. He wouldn't even let Moses, His favorite, look on Him. But what did He look like when He was in the presence? Yeah, He had this real hell glow on Him, and His hair went white. At least He had hair, brother. Okay. It says, As he fell to the ground because of the light, he heard a voice. Saul. Saul. And he had to call him twice, you see, because he was so in himself with like, oh, what happened? Why are you out to get me? And the second Saul got his attention, see, because he heard that voice. He said, who are you, master? He knew who he was. Master. I am Jesus, the one you're hunting down. I want you to get up, enter the city. In the city, you'll be told what to do next. His companions stood there, dumbstruck. They could hear the sound, but couldn't see anyone. While Saul, picking himself up off of the ground, found himself stone blind. They had to take him by the hand and lead him into Damascus. He continued blind for 3 days. How many? 3 days. How many days with Jesus in the grave?
3 days.
Oh, okay. He ate nothing and drank nothing. There's something to be, when you pay attention to different numbers in the Bible, they all seem to interact together. I kind of find that very interesting. Most, though, would consider Paul's prior life appalling. Paul was living the life, as we all could say, that he was brought up in. Paul was a Philistine. Oh, he was a Pharisee. Pharisee. Sorry about that. Was a Pharisee. He knew biblical law very, very well. And he also knew and was taught the Jewish religion. He knew a religion. He had nothing of an idea of what a relationship was yet. Remember Gamaliel? Remember him? Remember him, Mario? Okay, making sure. He was an unexpected ally for the apostles when they were brought before the Sanhedrin court, because the court wanted to kill them. But he convinced them otherwise, because he was respected, because he knew the law. He knew the law inside and out. Plus, he knew all the extra amendments that they kept putting in, all the other rules, the man-made rules. But he knew them. So he was one of the top teachers. In fact, he was the top teacher, when you research it out, of the Pharisees. And ironically, you know who his prize number one student was? Paul. Paul! As far as Paul was concerned, see, though, he was going through life, as they say, and when I saw this, I thought of your dad, okay? Because he would relate to this comment really, really, really well. He was going through life pulling the apple cart he had been given. Some of this newer generation have no idea what that means, but he would. But see, your mom's a lot younger than he is. She might not know that. In fact, they both just had birthdays. Just had birthdays. Yeah. 23rd and 25th of December. And look at them. I'm going to be in that good a shape. Praise God. Just telling you. Hallelujah. And God's blessed them with many, many more years. 120, the Bible says. Remember that, sir. Remember that. Now, though, for Paul, suddenly his whole world, though, was turned upside down. One little flash of light. A transition was taking place in Paul's life. And I would imagine, though, his walk to Damascus was anything but swift. Close your eyes and try to walk around. You're going to be stumbling a lot. How many of you know when God changes a life, it usually involves changing someone else's life as well? You ever notice that? I can look back at my life. I know there was a lot of other people when he was working on me. Well, back to Acts, verse 10 here. There was a disciple in Damascus by the name of Ananias. The master spoke to him in a vision. Ananias, yes, master, he answered. Get up and go over to Straight Avenue. Ask at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus. His name is Saul. He's there praying. He has just had a dream in which he saw a man named Ananias enter the house and lay hands on him so he could see again. Ananias protested, Master, you can't be serious. Everybody's talking about this man and the terrible things he's been doing, his reign of terror against your people in Jerusalem. And now he's shown up here with papers from the chief priest that give him license to do the same to us. But the master said, don't argue. Go. He said, go. I have picked him as my personal representative to non-Jews, kings, and Jews. And now I'm about to show him what he's in for, the hard suffering that goes with this job. So Ananias went and found the house, placed his hands on blind Saul, and said, Brother Saul, the master sent me, the same Jesus you saw on the way here. He sent me so you could see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. No sooner were the words out of his mouth than something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. He could see again. He got to his feet, was baptized, and sat down with them to eat a hearty meal. Both men's lives were forever changed because they were obedient and trusted completely in what was taking place in their lives. They didn't expect God to change everybody else. They accepted the fact God was working in their life and bringing about a change in them. They trusted God wholeheartedly and embraced what was about to happen. We who are hearing this word today are part, along with countless millions, think about it, countless millions of others, of the result of the change which occurred that day. Saul was blinded by the light as a result of Paul's willingness to change and accept what God did, was doing, was going to do, and is still doing today. Paul changed not just his world, but the entire world. I'm sure neither Paul nor those around him sensed the far-reaching effects God was doing. God's ways aren't confusing. They simply are God's ways. And they're capable of unlimited impact and unlimited results. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. We're going to look to verses 8 through 11 there. Isaiah 55. I'm staying with the Message Bible, folks. I don't think the way you think. This is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. The way you work isn't the way I work, God's decree. For as the sky soars high above earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work. And the way I think is beyond the way you think. Just as rain and snow descend from the skies and don't go back until they watered the earth, doing their work of making things grow and blossom, producing seed for farmers and food for the hungry. So will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave them. What we have in creation was all spoken through the Word. And you know, you know, let there be light. We get to get on. And then he created the vegetation that we see. And you know, you stop, you realize that when he created it, he created it with the ability to reproduce. And since then, man has been trying to not just figure it, they keep messing with it to come up with all kinds of different fruits. I mean, you know, it's okay, but you know, if you leave and just take care of what God gives you, He will continue to reproduce and grow and reproduce and grow, and you'll have more and more and more. There's enough food to feed the hungry if we just follow God's plans. Plants along here, move over here, let this take a rest. And you follow His planning, there's enough food. There's enough food for this whole world. And it's just not getting to them because there are people who are hoarding. Plain and simple, they're hoarding, holding back. Because I'm telling you, you don't feed somebody for a while, they get desperate. They get desperate. But God's Word, it's not going to come back empty-handed to Him. Just as the rain, when it goes and comes to this earth, we have enough rain that maintains that vegetation to grow and have that growing season. Dean doesn't like it, and Mario doesn't like it, Joey doesn't like it. When it rains and we have that certain time of the year where you can hear the grass growing, it just starts growing. Because they come in like this onto the property line, so what's the matter? Can't you hear it? It's growing out there. There's a purpose for all of it. That's what we got to realize. But so at this juncture in life, as at every time in our lives, as long as we have Jesus in our heart, we don't have to worry about the circumstances around us. Because Jesus is part of the plans God has had since the beginning of time for all of His kids. And what are we? King's kids. And what kind of plans? He has plans to prosper us. Plans for our well-being and our welfare. Plans for our best life now and forever. Now. Look at what you have compared to what you didn't have before. He is supplying all of our needs. All of our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Brother's teachings back there, that little short sermon that we get. Man, think about it. Think about what it's doing for us. Think about the potential the better life you're going to get because of it. And believe in our God-given faith that He is working all things in our good. Because that's what He tells us. What you think is bad, He's going to turn around and make it good. There's a reason that everything happens. Sometimes not, that it comes under not under our control. But He'll turn it into good. He will make it good. Yesterday, things were different. Today, they're different again. Jesus will never change. Jesus is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Life is lived in the present. Yesterday has gone. Tomorrow is yet to be. Today is the miracle. Today is the miracle. Don't be consumed or distracted by what you think may happen tomorrow, that you forget to look for what God is willing to do today. Amen? So if God impresses upon you to do something, be willing and say yes. Don't hesitate, but say yes. And then embrace the needed change in your life. And enjoy the journey, because it's ultimately going to affect someone else. Amen? Thank you. Amen.